What if the greatest competitive advantage in investing is not a visionary management team, an aggressive acquisition strategy, or a disruptive new product? What if the ultimate moat is a structural wave of growth that costs a business absolutely nothing? A force of nature that the market completely fails to price?
A force that competitors simply cannot engineer.
Exactly. Today's deep dive is a comprehensive analysis of the text titled The Big One. When the double swell Free Surfer meets Multiple Expansion by Jocelyn Dubé, drawn from the Averaging Up collection.
A highly dense institutional grade framework.
It is. And our mission today is to decode this framework. This material is designed explicitly for serious investors and finance professionals. We are going to examine the structural mechanics of exponential value creation, equipping you with the analytical tools to identify businesses that compound wealth without relying on, well, without relying on human intervention at all.
It is imperative to approach Dubé's framework, not merely as a localized stock picking strategy. It is a fundamental re-examination of how market value is constructed and, critically, how it is systematically mispriced by institutions.
It dismantles the traditional paradigms of capital allocation.
Completely. It requires you to shift your analytical focus away from what a management team is actively building and instead observe the macrostructural forces that propel a business forward entirely on their own. To achieve this, we must proceed rigorously through the architecture of this theory.
And to understand that architecture, we must first deconstruct the fundamental components of enterprise value. This brings us to section one, when growth is free.
The foundational premise of the entire text.
Precisely. In section one, Dubé posits that every business can be rigorously decomposed into two distinct operational forces. Force A represents the existing operation.
The present day toll.
The toll, the recurring subscription, the established cash flow. Force A generates wealth today. Force B, conversely, represents the growth engine.
The secular expansion of the addressable market.
Yes, the forward-moving wave that carries revenue into the future. Force B generates wealth tomorrow. However, the true distinction of exceptional businesses is not the absolute size of Force B, but the inherent cost required to acquire it. How does this framework map these forces mathematically?
To conceptualize this properly, we have to map these two forces onto the axis of time, utilizing the concept of duration. Let us look at short-duration businesses first.
Businesses dominated entirely by Force A.
Exactly. The cash arrives in the present moment through highly predictable avenues. Dividends, aggressive share repurchases, stable quarterly earnings. Enterprises such as Walmart, Coca-Cola, or McDonald's exemplify this short-duration reality.
They are stalwarts of present cash flow.
They are. Conversely, a long-duration business is defined almost entirely by Force B. The realization of cash is postponed. Capital is heavily deployed into research and development pipelines or immense capacity expansions.
So the present valuation is entirely dependent on distant cash flows that have yet to materialize.
Correct. Then we observe dual duration businesses, where forces A and B operate simultaneously. Conglomerates like Berkshire Hathaway, Alphabet, and Amazon. They generate substantial present day cash flows while concurrently deploying immense capital to construct their future growth engines.
Yet the framework introduces a profound distinction here. It argues that the standard financial model fundamentally errs by treating all dual-duration companies as structurally equivalent.
A critical analytical error.
In the traditional additive model, which we can represent mathematically as A plus B, the present cash machine and the future bet are entirely separate corporate activities. A corporation utilizes its primary operation to generate capital and then executes a separate, deliberate action to invest that capital.
And if the future bet fails, the core cash machine remains intact.
Right. But Dubé introduces a markedly rarer paradigm, the multiplicative model, or A times B. This defines the concept of the free surfer. Can we examine the mechanics of Visa to illustrate this multiplication?
Visa provides the perfect empirical evidence. Consider the architecture of their network. Every single transaction that crosses the Visa infrastructure is simultaneously a short-duration event, the toll collected in the immediate present, and the pure expression of a long-duration secular trend.
Which is the relentless global digitalization of payments?
Exactly. You cannot cleanly separate Force A from Force B. The present toll is the future wave. And this brings us to the defining characteristic of the free surfer. The cost of Force B is zero.
Zero cost for a growth engine.
Precisely zero. This structural wave is delivered entirely by forces the company did not create, does not control, and critically does not finance. The analysis references Chris Hahn, an institutional manager overseeing tens of billions of dollars.
He has long identified that the most critical element of investing is high barriers to entry.
He has. However, Dubé refines Hahn's premise significantly. The deepest barrier to entry is not achieved through massive-scale regulatory capture or brand omnipresence. The absolute barrier to entry is the zero cost of the growth engine.
Because when growth is exogenous, structurally irreversible, and entirely free, no competitor can possibly replicate it.
They cannot engineer a force of nature. The competitive moat does not reside merely in the present-day operation. The ultimate moat resides in the zero cost of expansion.
That structural reality leads us directly to the vulnerability inherent in traditional capital allocation, which brings us to section two, the invisible growth engine. Dubé contrasts the two dominant models of dual duration companies, the mechanical model and the natural model.
The contrast here is stark.
The mechanical model, utilized by titans like Berkshire Hathaway or Alphabet, relies entirely on highly visible human decisions to construct force B.
These decisions manifest as strategic acquisitions, heavy capital expenditures, aggressive research initiatives.
Yes. Because these actions are deliberate, they are highly visible. They are detailed heavily in quarterly earnings calls and annual shareholder letters. Consequently, institutional analysts can model them, and the market immediately prices them into the valuation. But what is the inherent danger of this visibility?
This visibility introduces what the text formally categorizes as the active allocator's risk.
A crucial concept.
It is the irreducible probability that a human decision designed to build force B will instead result in the massive destruction of shareholder value. The canonical example provided in the text is the 2015 merger of Kraft and Heinz.
A staggering deployment of capital.
Berkshire Hathaway and 3G Capital deployed an astounding $49 billion to construct a new growth engine through a transformative industrial acquisition. The thesis was built on assumed scale, cost synergies, brand leverage.
And the reality.
The reality was a catastrophic failure of human judgment. The deployment resulted in a $15 billion write-down, prolonged earnings stagnation, and severe equity depreciation.
The critical takeaway here is that even the most universally revered capital allocators are subject to error.
Every acquisition, every capital deployment, carries the active allocator's risk. The larger the capital deployment, the more devastating the error when that human judgment inevitably falters.
The natural model, which defines the free surfer, bypasses this risk entirely. Its growth engine is delivered by structural forces external to the enterprise. Visa does not allocate capital to lobby governments for cashless societies. Consumers and institutions drive that adoption independently.
Therefore, the free surfer carries zero active allocator's risk. Because no human management team built the structural wave, no human management team can make an error that breaks it.
There will never be a Kraft Heinz scenario in a pure free surfer's history.
Because there is no massive capital allocation decision to fail.
How does this absence of risk translate into an opportunity for the investor?
This dynamic creates a highly specific metric of underpricing. The free surfer possesses a dual advantage. First, a growth engine that requires no human construction is inherently robust. It cannot be fractured by executive incompetence. Second, and perhaps more crucial for your analytical framework, a growth engine that arrives unannounced is structurally underpriced by the broader market.
Because institutional analysts build models based on historical extrapolation.
Exactly. They measure transaction volumes, they measure revenue trends. They do not possess a line item in their quantitative models for an exogenous one-way structural tide. To utilize the analogy from the text, the analyst attempts to rigorously measure the current velocity of the water, but they completely fail to measure that the river itself is systematically widening.
And because this growth is invisible to standard financial modeling, the market systematically overprices the fragile, highly visible mechanical model and severely underprices the robust, invisible natural model.
It is a systemic misallocation of premium.
This principle of invisibility scales dramatically when we examine the taxonomy of these businesses. This leads us to section three, invisible squared. The framework provides a rigorous categorization of the free surfer genus. We have the classic free surfer, such as Visa, which rides a single structural wave. We have the resilient free surfer.
Re-exemplified by Moody's.
Yes, which possesses a wave that strengthens symmetrically in both economic expansions and contractions. And we have the hybrid free surfer, like S&P Global, which merges varying characteristics across its operational divisions. But the focus of Dubé's analysis is the absolute rarest species, the coupled free surfer, categorized here as a double swell.
A mathematical anomaly in public markets.
The text identifies MSCI as the purest specimen of this architecture. How does the double swell operate differently from the classic free surfer?
The double swell operates on two distinct compounding structural waves. For MSCI, wave one, or B1, is the global migration of capital from active management to passive investing. Every single dollar transitioning to a passive index must flow through an indexing authority.
And MSCI licenses those precise indices.
Correct. Wave 2, or B2, is the exponential rise of artificial intelligence and its insatiable consumption of structured financial data. Every algorithmic model requiring market data, risk analytics, or precise factor exposure must license that architecture from MSCI.
It is vital to understand the mathematical reinforcement occurring here. These waves are not merely additive, they function as a reinforcing loop, mathematically expressed as A multiplied by B1.
To the power of B2.
Precisely. Let us break that formula down for a moment. How exactly do those two forces multiply each other's velocity in a practical, real-world application?
The multiplication occurs through dependency. Every time artificial intelligence advances, which represents B2, it requires increasingly pristine, structured data to function. That demand directly accelerates the adoption and creation of passive index strategies, which represents B1.
Because passive indexes generate the exact standardized data architecture that artificial intelligence requires.
AI accelerates passive adoption, and passive adoption feeds AI data consumption. They continuously multiply each other's velocity.
Yet, despite this exponential mathematical reinforcement, the framework argues the institutional market entirely fails to price this double swell. This mispricing is driven by three distinct layers of invisibility.
The layers of invisibility are critical to the thesis.
The first layer is that B1, the shift to passive investing, is only partially visible. While ETF inflows are publicly reported, the market consistently underestimates the ultimate duration of this structural shift. The migration has decades of runway remaining.
Yet quantitative analysts price it as a mature, finite trend.
Precisely. And the second layer of invisibility.
The second layer is that B2, the artificial intelligence consumption of structured data, is almost entirely invisible in the present moment. It is too nascent to isolate within MSCI's current revenue mix. Analysts cannot build a reliable discount model for a force that is currently building immense pressure beneath the surface, but has not yet broken into predictable quarterly guidance.
The market demands visibility before it assigns a premium.
It does. And the third and most profound layer of invisibility is the multiplication itself. The institutional market is cognitively bound to additive thinking. Even when a highly sophisticated analyst identifies B1 and manages to hypothesize B2, they will simply add the two variables together in their spreadsheet.
They fundamentally fail to model the coupling.
The reinforcing loop where the two forces multiply. Therefore, the margin of expansion in a double swell free surfer is structurally deep, precisely because the forces generating the exponential value are entirely invisible to standard quantitative analysis.
This systemic mispricing creates a unique strategic opening. This brings us to section 4, the small investor's edge. The text invokes a foundational maxim from Peter Lynch. Big companies have small moves, small companies have big moves. However, Dubey applies that maxim not merely to company size, but to the structural constraints of institutional capital deployment. How do liquidity constraints prevent major institutions from capitalizing on this invisible growth?
We must analyze the severe mechanics of liquidity constraints. Consider MSCI's market capitalization, which currently sits at approximately $38 billion. To the average observer, this is a massive enterprise. But to an institutional giant managing $50 billion like Chris Hahn's TPI fund, a $38 billion market capitalization presents an insurmountable barrier to entry.
Let us walk through the mathematics of that institutional deployment.
For a fund of that magnitude to establish a meaningful position, say 5 to 10% of their total portfolio, they must deploy between $2.5 and $5 billion into this single equity.
It is mathematically impossible to deploy that volume of capital into a $38 billion company without aggressively driving up the share price.
The sheer act of their entry destroys the very underpricing they are attempting to capture. Furthermore, if their thesis changes, exiting that massive position would severely crash the price against them. They are structurally excluded from participating.
They physically cannot deploy the necessary capital without destroying their own pricing advantage.
They are trapped by their own scale.
This reveals the ultimate structural advantage for the individual investor. A capital deployment of $50,000 or even $5 million exerts zero pressure on the market. Your entry is completely silent. Your exit is entirely frictionless. You have the capacity to own the purest double swell free surfer at a valuation that the most sophisticated apex allocators in the global market are physically barred from accessing at scale.
Dubay synthesizes this into a powerful intersection of forces. Peter Lynch argued that the individual investor possesses structural advantages, such as lacking a benchmark to beat or quarterly performance metrics to justify. But this framework pinpoints exactly where that advantage achieves maximum leverage.
The intersection.
Yes. The advantage is optimized precisely at the intersection where the structural growth engine is completely invisible to the broader market, and the total market capitalization remains strictly inaccessible to the largest institutional funds. The double swell free surfer, resting at a $38 billion valuation, is the absolute embodiment of this intersection of power.
Understanding this intersection allows us to map the chronological realization of value. This leads us to Section 5, the margin of expansion. The text draws upon the historical analysis of Thomas Phelps and Christopher Mayer regarding the mechanics of 100-bagger investments. Mayer identified the twin engines required for exponential wealth creation.
Engine 1 is sustained, compounding earnings growth.
And Engine 2 is continuous multiple expansion, where the market willingly pays a higher premium for each subsequent dollar of those earnings.
The analysis elevates this concept by formally defining the margin of expansion. It is crucial that you contrast this with Benjamin Graham's classic margin of safety. The margin of safety is fundamentally defensive. It dictates purchasing an asset well below its intrinsic value, specifically to ensure that an analytical miscalculation does not result in the permanent destruction of your capital.
It protects against downside risk.
It does. The margin of expansion, however, is entirely offensive. It is the strategic positioning of capital into an asset before the broader market recognizes its underlying structural quality. If you purchase an equity that is already trading at 40 times earnings, your margin of expansion is non-existent.
The market has already achieved perfect visibility and priced in the excellence.
Exactly. But if you acquire a free surfer while its growth engine remains invisible, you secure the asset before the multiple expands. You position yourself ahead of the realization of value.
The text outlines the exact chronological sequence of how this value is realized, an event it terms the big one. Let us outline the sequence of this arrival. First, wave two, the AI data consumption, matures to the point of visibility. Analysts finally observe this immense data consumption manifesting in the quarterly revenue metrics.
They're forced to update their quantitative models.
As a direct result of this revelation, the valuation multiple expands. Simultaneously, because wave one and wave two are coupled, reinforcing loop, the fundamental earnings of the business accelerate rapidly. Both of Mayer's twin engines ignite at the exact same moment.
The multiple expands, the earnings accelerate, and the market capitalization violently adjusts upward, moving toward the $80 to $150 billion threshold.
What happens when the market capitalization crosses that specific threshold?
It is at this precise threshold that the final dynamic triggers, institutional arrival. As the market capitalization swells past $100 billion, the severe liquidity constraints that previously barred the massive sovereign wealth funds and apex allocators immediately dissolve. The barrier to entry falls away, and institutional capital floods into the asset.
It is critical to note that this institutional capital does not arrive because a prominent analyst suddenly issued a buy recommendation.
It arrives because it is compelled by the structural gradient. These massive funds are systematically migrating away from capital-intensive, high-risk mechanical models and desperately seeking the frictionless, zero-cost growth of the natural model.
The synthesis of this entire framework dictates your specific role as an investor. The individual who recognized the invisible convergence early, who understood the reinforcing mathematics of the double swell, and who utilized their lack of liquidity constraints to enter silently, captures the absolute entirety of this margin of expansion.
And they achieve this massive compounding of wealth by executing a single vital action. Simply holding the asset and doing absolutely nothing as the structural tide brings the institutions to them.
It is a mathematically profound realization.
It demands a reassessment of portfolio construction. Examine your own allocations. Are you paying a premium for highly visible mechanical growth that carries the active allocator's risk? Or are you positioned quietly in front of an invisible zero-cost wave, simply waiting for the structural tide to bring the institutions to you?
To explore these investment strategies further and discover more from the collection, visit the website averagingup.com.